I'm Victoria from Biblio Lifestyle, and you're listening to the Reader's Couch podcast, the show that will help you bridge the gap between living a full and busy life to one where you're reading, learning new things, and having fun. In today's episode, I'm super excited to talk more about the Biblio Lifestyle 2024 Winter Reading Guide and share 6 books from the guide that I think you should add to your TBR. So whether you're looking for a romance, a mystery, or even a fantasy, this episode has something for you. So stay tuned. Readers, welcome again to the Reader's Couch. I'm your host, Victoria Wood, and today I'm super excited to talk all about the Biblio Lifestyle 2024 Winter Reading Guide. Because after all, with all the cold and chilly weather rolling in, it's time for us to find a warm spot and immerse ourselves in the captivating world of new books. So, if you're looking for the best new books to carry you through the season, then this guide has just what you need. So, I'm really excited about this guide because it's the first guide with the first set of 2024 new releases. And as always, I feel like every year is shaping up to be an amazing year for books, and 2024 is no different. So whether you're looking for a mystery, thought-provoking literary fiction, a captivating fantasy, a romance, whatever you're looking for, I think this guide has something for everyone. So if you haven't already, visit winterreadingguide.com to download your free copy of the 2024 Winter Reading Guide. So again, that's winterreadingguide.com for your free copy of the Biblio Lifestyle 2024 Winter Reading Guide. Now, if you're hearing about the Winter Reading Guide for the very first time, it's a free downloadable PDF guide that I create, sharing some of the best books of the season that I've read, along with some fun things to do by yourself or with your family. You'll find recipes, reading and lifestyle tips, plus lots more. Now, I originally sent this guide to newsletter subscribers in December, which is when the guide was first released. So if you're not a part of the newsletter community, this is your sign to sign up, because you'll be the first to get all our seasonal reading guides. And we have a spring guide, we have a summer guide, we have the fall guide, and of course a winter reading guide, which I'm talking about today. And we also do a holiday gift guide. So again, if you're not a part of the newsletter community, take this as your sign to sign up. Now, before we get into the details, I just want to say the Winter Reading Guide, and for that matter, all my seasonal reading guides, they're not a comprehensive list of the books that are coming out for the season. This guide is just filled with my favorite books that I have read in preparation for the guide, and then I put the guide together with my favorites in hope that you'll select a book or two from the guide to add to your reading list. Now, if you're a member of the Biblio Lifestyle community, you'll also receive a copy of the shortlist. Now, the shortlist is another PDF guide, but this one includes all the books I've read and loved that were under consideration for inclusion in the public guide. Plus, you'll also find a list of books like recommendations as well. So you know how sometimes a reader will recommend a book to you and say, well, if you're a fan of A, or if you enjoyed B, then this book is for you. You'll find a books-like recommendation list for not just the books that were selected as a part of the Winter Reading Guide that went out to the public, but you'll also get books-like recommendations for all the books I read and loved that made the shortlist. So if you want a copy of the shortlist, which like I mentioned, includes all the books I read and loved that were under consideration for the guide, including the guidebooks, and a list of the books like recommendations, then consider this another sign, but also an invitation to join the Biblio Lifestyle community, where you'll also receive other perks as well. So in addition to getting the shortlist, we have lots of things going on. We have workshops, we have a book club, We're doing crafting. We're doing all the things. So visit bibliolifestyle.com/community for more information on how you can become a member. You can also learn more about what you can expect inside the community. We have a preview of what our programming calendar looks like and lots more details. So again, visit bibliolifestyle.com/community. One last time, bibliolifestyle.com/community. So you'll find a link to download both the free winter guide and get information on the community in the show notes. Okay, so let's get back to the guide. And before I get into talking about the kinds of books you can find in the guide, I want to talk about the guide's cover because I really love this cover so much. And also, we did something very different with the cover this year. I'm not sure if you can tell what, but there's something about this guide that's very different. So just a quick recap, right? The first guide cover was a stock photo of an icy lake. The second and third guide covers were both illustrated covers. One is with readers ice skating on their village pond, and the third is a winter ski lodge with a bookstore and just readers all around. Now, this time around, for the fourth winter reading guide cover, I really wanted an interior setting because when I looked back at all the guide covers, they were all set outdoors. And to be honest with you, I'm not really surprised about this because my family and I love the outdoors more than anything else. So whatever we love doing, if we can do it outdoors, it's like a win. So if I'm reading and I can read outside, that's a win. They want to play outside, you know, that's a win. My husband loves to cook outside. It's just, we're an outdoorsy bunch. So even though I love the outdoors and quite frankly, most of the guide covers with outdoor settings went by unnoticed for a really long time, but I eventually picked up on it and I decided, well, I want an interior setting and that's the setting that's long overdue. So let me pull up the email I sent to my fabulous illustrator, Lauren George, and let me tell you exactly what we were discussing and some of the notes that I sent her in the design section. So the theme I was envisioning is cozy winter reading indoors. So that's just a theme. I always like having a theme. But the elements I listed that I would love to have included in the design are huge windows with snow on the framing with slivers of the curtain at the side. I was thinking of outside the window, we have tree branches with snow on them and a red cardinal. That was very important, a red cardinal. The moon, if possible, which she made possible. Window seating with a bookshelf underneath. A woman sitting by the window seat reading with a pillow behind her. A book or two on the seat and at other ends. And I wanted a teapot with cups there too. In front of the bookshelf, there's a mat with books scattered on there as well. And I also wanted two folks each sitting on opposite sides of the window seat, also reading. So those were the design elements I was going for. I don't know about you, but I think Lauren knocked it out the park. I'm in love with this design, and I really hope you love it too. Now, again, if you're an avid listener of the pod, I know I've probably said it before, that coming up with the reading guide designs is a family effort, and because we love the outdoors so much and we want to do everything outdoors, it was outdoorsy for a long time, but I'm really excited about the interior design. I shared this with Lauren, and I think she did an amazing job at bringing this design to life. Okay, now it's time for the main event. Let's talk about what kinds of books you can find in the guide. So the Biblio Lifestyle 2024 Winter Reading Guide has 21 new releases organized across 6 categories. So in the guide, you'll find 6 literary fiction selections, 3 historical fiction books, 3 family and friendship books, 3 mysteries and thrillers, 3 science fiction and fantasy books, and 3 romance novels. Now, if you remember me mentioning about the short list at the top of the show, and that the short list is a list of books that I read and loved, and these were the books I was considering for inclusion in the guide, well, if you're interested in the short list, I can give you a number count on that. So, instead of 6 literary fiction books, which are in the public guide, on the shortlist there are 12. Instead of 3 historical fiction books, on the shortlist there are 6. Instead of 3 family and friendship books, on the shortlist they are 4. For mysteries and thrillers, this was another big one. I selected 3 for the public reading guide list, but on the shortlist there are 12. For science fiction and fantasy, on the shortlist there are 6, and I picked 3 for the public guide. And for romance novels, I selected 3 romance novels for the public guide, but on the shortlist there are 6. Now, I also had an additional category, 2 actually. I have 4 women's fiction books that are on the shortlist and 3 short story collections. So if we do the math, which quite honestly I'm not really good at, but 12 and 6, that's 18, plus 4, 22, plus 12, where am I? Okay, let me get my calculator. So if you do the math, right, there are 53 books that made the shortlist, but there are only 21 books in the guide. And again, like I mentioned, as a bonus, you will find a list of books like recommendations for each of these selections. So you'll have an idea of what these books are similar to, and that will also help you decide if a book is for you. So again, visit bibliolifestyle.com/community so you can get more information on how you can become a member, select the membership plan that works for you. You can learn more about the other perks we offer community members, and you can also see a preview of our community programming. So that just gives you an idea of the difference between the winter reading guide having 21 books and the shortlist having 53. Plus, there's the books like recommendations too. So it's quite a hefty list. And again, I'll include links in the show notes to both the community and the free winter reading guide. So you can find that all in the show notes. So readers, without further ado, let's get into the my 6 books that I think you should add to your TBR. Okay, so the first book on my list is the literary fiction selection, and the book I'm recommending you read this season is Beautyland by Marie-Hélène Bertino. Now, my elevator pitch for Beautyland is in the novel, we meet a woman deeply connected to a faraway planet, and she shares her experiences and observations of Earth as she navigates life while also starting to wonder if she's truly alone. Now, readers, I really enjoyed this book. It's a coming-of-age story. It's set in the Northeast in Philadelphia. And in the novel, we meet Adina. And Adina is not like any other humans. Actually, she's an alien from this faraway planet, and she was sent to infiltrate human society and to kind of observe us and take notes on just human life and, yeah, basically spying on us almost. And we see Adina throughout her childhood and young adulthood, which is around the 1980s and the 1990s. And we see her taking notes, like I said, and sending it back to her extraterrestrial superiors. But we also see her navigating a human life and really noticing her difference from her human friends. But we also see her going through the normal things that a young adult would be going through. And yeah, just life as we really know it. So again, this is really a coming of age narrative with that otherworldly alien twist. I really enjoyed it. I love seeing just the everyday details with the otherworldly elements and storytelling. But truly, this is just a wonderful and I think beautifully written coming of age story. And even if you're not a fan of, you know, alien stories and that kind of thing, I still think you should give this novel a try because it's not that heavy, truly. I think at its heart, this is a coming of age story. I absolutely loved it, highly recommend it. So I hope you'll give Beautyland by Marie-Hélène Bertino a go. Okay, book 2 on my list is the historical fiction selection, and the book I'm recommending you read this winter is The Frozen River by Ariel Lohan. Now, I think The Frozen River is probably already on your radar because I think this was what, the Good Morning America book club pick. So yes, that book is out there. It's everywhere, but I absolutely loved it. This was a great book club selection. It was absolutely fabulous. And my elevator pitch for this book is The Frozen River is set in 1789 Maine, and we meet a midwife and healer who is investigating a shocking murder in her close-knit community after her diary entries implicates those she loves, and we see her grappling with the truth, grappling with loyalty, and also dealing with the need for justice. Again, readers, this was just an incredibly well done book. And even though it's historical fiction, it is based on the true story of a midwife named Martha Ballard. And we get to know Martha just as a woman in her community. She's a local midwife. She helps women during childbirth. But she finds herself entangled in a rape case against a deceased man and this man's accomplice. Now, the man's accomplice is alive and well. So we kind of see just the layers, the nuances, the complications, the power dynamics in this town. But also we see the personal connections of people in this town, including Martha. And we even get a courtroom drama in this book. So this book was very, very atmospheric. I felt very transported to that setting. We also see Martha's personal life. We see the romance with her husband. We see her grown children. You know, there's a lot of detail in this book. It felt very vivid to me. It felt very real. And in general, I just love stories about women in history. You know, little known stories of women in history. I'm also very fascinated with American history, and I love seeing that represented in historical fiction. So yeah, really enjoyed this book. I don't think there's, you know, anything much I can say without spoiling the book, obviously, but I hope you'll give this one a go. It's The Frozen River by Ariel Lawhon. Okay, book three on my list is a book with themes of family and friendship. And I absolutely adored this book. And if you've been listening to the podcast for some time now, I often say I love reading stories about women who are doing amazing things later on in life, but also just hearing their stories. I truly appreciate that. And I think the older I get, I want to read these women's stories. And in this book, our main character is 77 years old and I am living. So the book I'm talking about is Mrs. Quinn's Rise to Fame by Olivia Ford. Now, my elevator pitch for this novel is that in Mrs. Quinn's Rise to Fame, a woman's decision to compete on a baking show becomes a turning point in her life. As she finds newfound independence, she confronts long-held secrets, and she also finds unexpected fame. Now, like I said at the top, I loved this woman at the center of the story. She's 77 years old. Her name is Jenny. And we see her surprise herself, basically, by getting a spot on a televised baking competition, despite her initial doubts in herself. You know, she didn't feel like she was going to make it on the show, but she actually gets a spot. We see her overcome her self-doubt and does a really great job with her baking, which I absolutely love to see. But this story is incredibly layered, and I think it's one of its strong points, is just how layered the narrative is, just how nuanced it is. And during the competition, we see Jenny kind of come to grips with her life. We see the book dive into parts of her youth. And this is also a story of secrets, because Jenny's keeping a secret that not even her husband knows. I'm not going to say what the secret is because I don't want to spoil it. Really, this is a coming of age later on in life. And I do love a coming of age later on in life. And this is also a story of believing in yourself and overcoming that self-doubt, and also finding independence, which I love seeing that, especially with women, because I think women, we have a lot of self-doubt. And yes, I'm talking about myself too. There's a lot of self-doubt. So it's really heartwarming when you can see someone later on in life overcoming that. So if you haven't figured that out in your 20s, which for sure you're never going to figure everything out in your 20s, I don't think, unless you're just extremely extremely exceptional, which I'm sure there are people like that out there. But for most of us, yeah, our 20s are horrendous. Our 30s, you're finding your footing. And your 40s, well, I'm really enjoying that time of, you know, just kind of stepping out into your own. But yeah, so to kind of see Jenny achieve this level of independence and belief in herself at 77 just gave me hope, which is basically to say, if you haven't figured it all out by now, that is okay. You have enough time ahead. So yes, it's a coming of age later on in life. It's a story about dreams and them coming true again at different points in your life. I'm a firm believer you can have it all, just maybe not all at once. So, you know, you can have things in your different stages, which is amazing. And yeah, I just really enjoyed this one. Really heartwarming, really layered. If you love stories with main characters who are older women coming of age later in life, if you also love baking competition shows, then this one will really be a sweet treat. So I hope you'll give Mrs. Quinn's Rise to Fame by Olivia Ford a go. Okay, book four on my list is the Mysteries and Thriller selection. And the book I'm recommending you read is Everyone on This Train is a Suspect by Benjamin Stevenson. Now, I'm really excited about this one. I absolutely loved it. I think this book is an ode to those classic murder mysteries, but with a twist. And, you know, it felt fresh, which I really enjoy when an author can just give a fresh take to those mysteries. And my elevator pitch for Everyone on This Train is a Suspect is, in the novel, a group of mystery writers becomes detectives when one of them is murdered on a train. But finding the killers proves challenging because all the suspects are literary talents who are skilled in getting away with murder. Now, I love a good locked room, closed circle, tight-knit mystery. And that's exactly what we get in this story. So we meet our character, Ernest, who was in the previous book by this author. That book was Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone. And we see Ernest, who is super excited to be going to the Australian Mystery Writers Festival. The festival is aboard a train. They all board up on this train. So they're writers, editors, agents, just everyone you can think of in the publishing world, and specifically the murder mystery world. But, like, you know, in true murder mystery fashion, right, they're on the train and someone gets murdered. And when one of the writers, so that's the person who was murdered, it was a writer, is found dead, our main character Ernest and the other writers on the train become two things. They become both suspects, but they also become detectives. So they're all trying to figure out who committed the murder, who's a murderer amongst them, all before the train gets to their final destination. Now, again, really enjoyed this book. Personally, I love a good locked room, closed circle mystery situation. But what I also enjoyed about this one is that it's filled with humor. I think it's very clever. It's not one of those tricky mysteries. It's, you know, it's kind of a nod to those traditional mysteries. There's a traditional mystery line in there. I don't want to say because I don't want to spoil it, but you'll see that nod to the classic. You'll see that this isn't a, you know, a trick mystery. It has nothing to do with, you know, body doubles, a twin, you know, just nothing like that. This is just, you know, all the facts are presented to you. So as a reader, you're also trying to obviously figure who done it, but all the information is there. So I enjoyed it. It's really clever. I hope you'll give this book a read. Again, Everyone on This Train is a Suspect by Benjamin Stevenson. Okay, my next book selection is a science fiction and fantasy selection, and the book I'm recommending is Son of Blood and Ruin by Marily Lars. I hope I'm saying the name right. I'm so sorry if I butchered it. Marily Lars, Marily, Son of Blood and Ruin by Marily Lars. So I really enjoyed this one. I love a historical fantasy, and this is exactly what you'll get in this one. So my elevator pitch for Son of Blood and Ruin is that this novel is set in an alternative 16th century colonial Mexico, and we see a masked sorceress join forces with an alliance of indigenous peoples to fight against Spanish control and fulfill an ancient prophecy against Spanish control. So I love a good fantasy. Like I said, I love a good historical fantasy. I love something rooted in fact. So the fact that we're going back to 16th century Mexico, back when it was a colony of Spain, and that there's this whole ancient prophecy involved, I'm like, yes. I was super excited to read this book, and I have to tell you, it delivered. And what really blew my mind was that this was a debut. So if you're looking for a captivating but also vibrant fantasy epic that has those historical elements, then trust me, this book is for you. So in the book, we meet Leonora, who is a mestiza woman. And Leonora has the ability to transform into a panther and draw energy from the sun. So if you kind of look at the book cover, you'll see, you know, that panther, which, by the way, shout out to the cover designer, absolutely amazing job. So it's Leonora who has this ability to transform, and we see her join forces with an indigenous alliance, and the whole reason they're coming together is to resist Spanish control. Again, this is an epic. You're going to get adventure. You're going to get the thrilling fighting scenes. You're going to get suspense. You're also going to get relationships in this story, because that's very important. And again, you're getting the history, the mythology, the romance, the action. Honestly, this book was giving everything I needed and more. If you are interested in a historical fantasy, kind of rooted in, you know, history, mythology, all that good stuff, but you get the action, you get the romance, you get the mythology, you get all the things, I highly recommend Son of Blood and Ruin by Marie-Lee Lars. And again, if I butchered the name, so, so sorry. And the last book on my list, and certainly not the least, is my romance selection. And the book I'm recommending you read is A Love Song for Ricky Wilde by Tia Williams. Now, I absolutely love, love, love Tia Williams. Also loved 7 Days in June, which I recommended that in the summer reading guide the year that book came out. So, and I think it was also selected as a book club selection. I'm almost sure it was Reese's Book Club. Don't quote me. But 7 Days in June was amazing. And I have to tell you, Tia does not disappoint in a love song for Ricky Wilde. Now, my elevator pitch for this novel is, in a love song for Ricky Wilde, a free-spirited florist defies her family's expectations and opens up a flower shop in Harlem. And while there, she forms friendships and finds love with a musician. And this is all set with the backdrop of the rich history of the Harlem neighborhood. Again, really love this book. I have to say, this is a romance, but it's also a love letter to the Harlem Renaissance. We get the history of that community. It blends the past and the present seamlessly. We get romance. We even get a bit of fantasy in there as well. But yeah, I have to tell you, I was here for the character Ricky Wilde. Ricky is a vintage fashionista who has dreams of opening up a flower shop. And she eventually does that, which is not a spoiler to say. And along the way, we also see her finding friendship with a former child star. She has a really cool landlady, by the way. And of course, then she meets the musician who kind of gives us that romance narrative. And I just loved how the romance is, you know, obviously the main event, but we also get the stories of the friends, because I think friendship is just incredibly important, even in a romance. So we get all of that. And again, like I said, we get the history of the Harlem Renaissance, of that community and its historic nature in general. And this just felt incredibly refreshing, but also just really big and epic. So we get the grandeur, we get the love story, and it was show-stopping, honestly. It was heartfelt and show-stopping. So if you're a fan of Tia Williams, I mean, there's no question, you have to pick up this novel. But I also hope our readers will give, you know, Tia Williams a go. This was a really good one. So if you haven't already, 7 days in June, but I hope you'll pick up a copy of A Love Song for Ricky Wilde. It was just, again, it was show-stopping. It was absolutely amazing. Alrighty, readers, so those are the six books I'm recommending you read this winter. The literary fiction selection is Beautyland by Marie-Hélène Bertino. The historical fiction selection, The Frozen River by Ariel Lohan. The family and friendship selection is Mrs. Quinn's Rise to Fame by Olivia Ford. The mysteries and thriller selection, Everyone on This Train is a Suspect by Benjamin Stevenson. The science fiction fantasy selection, Son of Blood and Ruin by Marie Lee Lars. And our romance selection, A Love Song for Ricky Wilde by Tia Williams. Now, readers, more than anything, even though I gave you some spoiler-free descriptions of each book, I also recognize that reading is a very personal experience. So if you need trigger warnings, send me an email, hello@bibliolifestyle.com, and I will do my very best to advise you accordingly. But also, I recommend that you use the Storygraph, which is a book app for readers. So check out the Storygraph because it does an incredibly great job of providing trigger warnings for readers. So that's just another way you can decide if a book is right for you. Also, in the winter reading guide, I've included publication dates so you get to know what book comes out when. Although, of course, don't hold me to it because the publishers can change these dates. But the whole idea of me including these dates is so that you can use this information to get ahead of the line at your library so you can get those library hauls in. But you can also pre-order these books from your favorite bookseller. So again, if you haven't already, visit winterreadingguide.com. to download your free copy of the 2024 Winter Reading Guide. Again, that's winterreadingguide.com for your free copy of the guide. So I'll also include a link in the show notes so you can get your free copy of the guide. And also, if you're interested in the shortlist, if you want even more book recommendations, if you want books like recommendations, you can also find in the show notes a link to get more information and join our community, because community members get access to the shortlist, plus there are lots of other perks available for community members. So I hope I'll see you inside the community, because I absolutely love getting to know you readers more. You can get to know me and we can build relationships in this space. Also, one more thing, if you haven't already, please, pretty please, leave the podcast a 5-star rating, write me a review if you love the show, and share this episode or any of your favorite episodes with your bookish friends. Readers, I really hope you'll find plenty of books you love in the guide. I'm really looking forward to hearing about your favorites, so again, don't hesitate to reach out to me. But for now, that's it. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for listening, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with you again soon. Bye for now. Thank you so much for listening to the Reader's Couch podcast. Please subscribe to the show, share it with a friend, and take a few seconds to leave a rating and review. Until next time, stay lounging, stay reading, and whenever you're in doubt, go straight to your local bookstore or library. Thanks again for listening, and happy reading.